Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our radio program here, NFP for Life. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon from Holy Spirit Radio up here in Doylestown, and we're thrilled to be here, and as we always do, we will open our program with a prayer prior to our announcing our topic and getting into our discussion. So, Betty, if you'll lead us.
Welcome, everyone, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have given us a model of life in the Holy Family of Nazareth. Help us, O loving Father, to make our family another Nazareth, where love, peace, and joy reign. May it be deeply contemplative, intensely Eucharistic, and vibrant with joy. Help us to stay together in joy and sorrow through family prayer. Teach us to see Jesus in the members of our family, especially in his distressing disguises. May the Eucharistic heart of Jesus make our hearts meek and humble like his, and help us to carry our family duties in a holy way. May we love one another as God loves each one of us more and more each day, and forgive each other's faults as you forgive our sins. Help us, O loving Father, to take whatever you give and to give whatever you take with a big smile. Immaculate Heart of Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Holy Guardian Angels, be always with us, guide and protect us. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I am going to take everything with a smile because I have the honor. You have to be here in the booth to see that I have the reincarnation of Stevie Wonder next to me because Betty's got her sunglasses on because she left her regular glasses in her car. And as is typical, we'd just like to make an announcement that we think that we're being attacked by evil because we always forget things that we need for our program, but somehow God comes through and overcomes. And if you hear any static today from the signal from the radio station, we believe that that's another attack, but our engineers are working on it, and we will come through loud and strong to get our message across. Our topic today is in honor, actually, and in anticipation of a program that's going to be held tomorrow morning at the International Cultural Institute, which is located at 63rd and Lancaster Avenue at Ivy Hall. It's right around the corner from the seminary at St. Charles, and it is being offered by the International Cultural Institute, which happens to be located at the same location as the National Catholic Bioethics Center, as well as the national, now new headquarters of the Catholic Medical Association. And tomorrow's seminar, which begins at 9:30, actually starts 8:30 with Mass by Bishop McFadden at Our Lady of Lourdes, which is right down the street. And the program at 9:30 is marital chastity and the evils of contraception. So we're going to talk a little bit about the issues surrounding the evil of contraception. We have not spent a lot of time, I think, in the last five and a half years. We've done one or two programs. This one, a little bit of an update, a little bit more of a definition, a little bit more of the numbers, and a little bit about some of the medical implications. We want to tell people out there what women are not being told, what men are not being told about contraception. Everybody says that we don't hear it from the altar, we don't hear it from the pulpit. Well, priests wouldn't have access to a lot of this information, and I believe that that's part of the reason why John Haas, who is the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, put together this program on marital chastity and abstinence, and we have a rather stellar speaking list of John Haas himself, who's going to talk about natural law. Brad Wilcox, who is a PhD sociologist, who will talk about the social implications. Rick Fitzgibbons, who is a physician psychiatrist, who will talk about the psychological and psychiatric implications. Michael and Lisa Ann Castagno is an NFP witness couple who will discuss natural family planning and how it affects marriages and family life. And myself, who will talk about the medical implications, and a priest, a Jesuit, who will finish up the day talking about the moral implications, and then a question and answer. So it'll run 9:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon. $45 registration. Just type in International Cultural Institute on your web browser, and it'll take you to ICI.org, which is the website, and you can register online or you can register at the door. There's plenty of room. We would invite you to come. It's everything that you needed to know about what the Catholic Church teaches about marital chastity and abstinence. So that's tomorrow morning, Saturday. It's February the 17th, 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Betty and I will be out there all day. I'm sure that it will be tape recorded, so that next month we'll let you know where you can get copies of the discussion if you're not able to make it.
Plus, I think also that it's not just what the Catholic Church teaches, but it's also what, medically speaking, the evils of contraception that a lot of people just take into consideration, that it's perfectly fine and okay to use contraception, especially medications. And they really don't know the implication of these medications. So we're here to give you some insight on that, practically, medically, and some spiritually, but more so practically and medically. It's very upsetting when you really know the truth and you're not getting the truth.
Yeah, you really don't even need to use religion or bring up the word of religion at all when you're talking about health and medicine and the treatment of diseases and what the details are referable to these very strong hormones that are in the hormonal contraceptives and what it means to women. And as an OBGYN who tries to provide women's health care, you've all heard my witness before that I've given up prescribing contraception in any shape or form over the past 7 years. And some of the medical issues, aside from the moral issues, I mean, there is a moral issue for me personally, it may not be for other people, but there are some medical issues that do need to be brought up and addressed and people need to be made aware of. I'll let you know that our telephone lines are open at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. If anyone has any questions, any comments, any questions about anything that we have discussed, please feel free to give us a call and we'll chat with you about it. Two other announcements. One, the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network Conference. That will be held upcoming in several weeks on March the 3rd, and that will start at 9 a.m. at St. Mary Medical Center in the Conference Center. Registrations are still open. We have plenty of room. We would invite anyone who might be interested. $15 per person, $25 per couple. You get breakfast, you get lunch, you get mid-morning snacks. You can't beat the deal. You can't go to McDonald's and eat for that inexpensively. And we will be building on a momentum of information that will be projected to build a marketing program and business plan to market natural family planning.
And to help people understand that they don't need to use contraception when they could use natural family planning. And it would be safe and it would protect your body and your health and everything else. So what we're going to cover today, you may want to follow that up with this conference, March the 3rd at St. Mary Medical Center. And you can register online at www.pfp, pnfpn.org. And again, pnfpn.org. And you can register online March 3rd and come out for the day. Support natural family planning. Let us know that you're out there, because our numbers feel small compared to the secular world, and we're trying to make a dent here. So we would love to see you and have some support. And also, again, our phone lines are open today, 215-345-1570. Give us a call.
We have a great lineup of speakers for that PNFPN program, Betty. We have starting off with Judy McLean and Mountain McElvray from Generation Life. That'll be coming over to talk and speak about the message that needs to be gotten out to youth and how to market that message to the youth, the high school students, maybe even some elementary grade students. Then following them will be our very own Sister Sheila Galligan, who is a professor and chair of the Department of Theology at Immaculata University, and she's going to talk about College NFP 101.
And she's also on the board of the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network.
And then, and she actually was on the radio this morning talking about the conference. Then a good friend of ours, Father David Fernandez from St. Anselm Parish. He's a great guy. He's a great example of an invigorating, interested, energetic priest who is interested in the pro-life, pro-chastity message. And gets Betty and I to go down and do pre-Cana.
And a strong supporter of NFP. He mandates that his pre-Cana program has full knowledge of NFP. So it's a wonderful. He's a wonderful priest, and he really wants to promote the message of true love and health.
And then we have a beautiful mother and a beautiful person and a friend of ours from St. Ignatius Parish, Christian Chacha, who is a mother of five and a user of natural family planning. And
well, she has a master's degree from Villanova.
And would like to come and tell us why she selected natural family planning to use in her married life, and what it means to her marriage, and what it means, what it should mean to married couples and married life, and the blessings and the gifts of her children. And then after lunch, we have our special guest, Judy Leonard, who is the director of the Family Life Office in Wichita, Kansas, who has a very popular marketing program that was very successful, done about a year and a half ago. They have a diocese that's on fire for natural family planning, and she has graciously accepted an invitation to come present her marketing program and help us build on that and perhaps use it for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And then finally, wrapping up, our son, Greg Ruppersberger, who has an MBA in pharmaceutical finance and management, who will be speaking on a business plan that will be addressing it from a business point of view. If natural family planning were a product or a commodity that you wanted to market to these people that we've all spoken about, then how would you project and how would you present? And if you were coming to a board of directors and said, you know, here's how we want to market our product, how would you market this product? And then the hope is that the audience will participate in the last half hour and giving us some additional input referable to marketing natural family planning. And then my game plan is to put all that together into a written package, invite some members of the PNFPN board and the Philadelphia Catholic Medical Association who sponsor this conference, and get an audience with His Eminence Cardinal Regali, and present him with the marketing program along with Dominic Lombardi, who's the chair of the Family Life Office in Philadelphia, and hope that we can use some of the things that we learned to market NFP in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So we're excited about it. We hope that you'll come out. We hope that you'll participate. We need your input. Anybody that knows anything about PNFPN, this is the last push. You got 2 more weeks before the conference. I need a head count. So as I said, pnfpn.org, we need to order the food. It's not expensive. You can register there. We will have some vendor tables outside, but come support us. This is our 6th year doing the conference. We always have a great turnout. And although it may not sound like it's a very exciting topic, it's what the Holy Spirit has led us to do. And then the final announcement, on March the 10th, The Adult Faith Formation at St. Ignatius Parish is offering a special program on immigration from 9:30 to 11 in the Adult Ed Center at St. Ignatius Parish. And Monsignor Shields, who's from the Archdiocesan Immigration Bureau, is going to come and talk about some of the problems. It's more of a social justice issue, but talk about what the church teaches about immigration and how they're going to approach handling all the immigration problems that you're hearing being spoken about. And if you have any questions, or if you would, although registration is not necessarily prior, you can call the rectory at St. Ignatius at 215-493-3377. And again, that's at 9:30 Saturday morning, March the 10th. No registration fee, free will offering, continental breakfast, and a great talk by Monsignor Shields. So enough of the commercials.
Right.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
Definition of contraception. Voluntary prevention of conception and impregnation using artificial means. The word contra, or the precept of contra, means against. Inception means the act of becoming pregnant. Natural family planning or family planning or fertility awareness is not the same because it is not against anything. It is not contraception. By the very definition of the word, you can see immediately that it is against something. Now, I'd like to just run by you a couple of philosophical issues that Betty and I will kind of flip-flop back and forth with, and we can kind of just talk very briefly because we talk about these issues in our NFP classes. So, okay, couple gets married, they want to have a family, but they don't want to have unlimited numbers of children. They want to somehow regulate their family. So what are they being asked to do?
Well, God does not, or the Catholic Church for that matter, does not desire that married couples have unlimited number of children. And God calls married couples to responsible parenthood. And responsibilities begin with, begin to God, to each other, to the family, and to society.
In that order. So your primary responsibility as a parent is number one to God, because you're giving each other, giving yourselves to each other in the sacrament of marriage with God and your family as a witness. It's the only sacrament that's conferred by lay people on each other. It's not conferred by the priest. And so with God as a witness, your primary responsibility in that marriage and that marital commitment, that covenant that you make with each other, is to God first, then to each other, then to your family, including your children and your extended family, your grandchildren, your parents, and so forth, and then ultimately to society. And we seem to have that backwards in our secular world. Everybody's putting God last and society first. And so that needs to be reversed. And people need to know that, and people need to understand that.
Also, periodic continence using natural methods, NFP, does not violate the dictates of God's plan for life and love. So we're just asking you to abstain. But most important, and I think this is invaluable information for a woman and for her family, is to understand your fertility, to understand when you're fertile, when you're not. So it's a gift. Our fertility is a gift, and we abuse it, and we don't understand it. So it's part of being responsible for yourself, for your body, for your children, and being a responsible parent.
The other issue is, if there's already a method of spacing births that's 98 to 99% effective and conforms with God's plan of life and love, then why do we even need another method or multiple methods that may be harmful? Why would you even go to something that could be more harmful to yourself individually, your body, more harmful to your relationship, to your marriage, more harmful to your family? Why would you even go there? Natural family planning has been around forever. It's biological. It's natural, whereas the other methods are not natural. And the most serious side effect And I put this in quotation marks, which you can't see because we're on radio. But the most serious side effect of a quote-unquote failure of natural family planning is a child. And we teach and we approach that children are the supreme gift of a marriage. So if your choice to not have a child at a particular time and using natural family planning, and God decides to create a child at that point in time and bring a child into your life, that's a gift. That's not a punishment. And we have to reverse that attitude and see children as gifts and stop seeing children as punishments.
Contraception violates the nature of the conjugal act. Contraception is anti-life. Contraception is not a sexual act. Contraception is an act of willing against a possible life. Someone not engaging in sex cannot contracept. Contraception is a willing that a life not exist. That is contra-life.
What makes the act of contraception itself is not the act, but the willing of the active person. It has nothing to do with the method. Okay? There's nothing evil about a method. There's nothing evil about an object. It's how the object is used. There's nothing evil about the existence of a gun unless somebody takes it and decides to turn around and shoot somebody else with it. Then that is an evil act, not the gun itself. And so, you know, a hormonal birth control pill that's just sitting on the counter not being used is not evil in and of itself. A condom, a diaphragm, an IUD, a piece of plastic, a piece of latex is not evil in of itself. It's the act of using it for the purpose and the intent of blocking the gift of life and saying no to God that makes it evil. Therefore, it's impossible for such an act of contraception to not be against life, because as soon as somebody picks up one of those objects and decides to use it in the context of their intimacy, they are automatically saying no to life. And when you say no to life, that's how we end up with our culture of death. And so to get rid of the culture of death, yes, we need to get rid of abortion, but first we need to focus on and eliminate this contraception issue. Now, what are some of the problems associated with contraception? Like, are a lot of people involved in this or engaged in this? Well, we'll give you some statistics that I think are going to make your hair stand on end a little bit here. I know it may sound a little bit complicated, but we're just going to try to summarize a couple of things. And as I said before, we're going to go back and forth a little bit, but we have some things that we want to cover.
Well, what amazes me is this is going to blow your mind. 62 million U.S. women are in the childbearing years, and that's ages 15 to 44. 43 million women of reproductive age are sexually active and do not wish to conceive, but could. That's 43 million. Wow. Typical U.S. woman only wants two children. And to achieve only two, she must avoid pregnancies. This is amazing. She has to avoid a pregnancy for over 30 years of her life.
All right.
That's just blows me away.
That means if you live until you're 80 or 85, you're going to spend one-third of your life trying to avoid having a child. Now, it gets even worse because for the first 11 years of your life, you really can't conceive because you're not even through puberty. And once you hit 50 and you go through menopause, for the last 30 years of your life, you can't conceive because you're menopausal. So 40 out of those 80 years, half of the time, you are not even potentially capable of conceiving. So it's the other 40. And 30 out of those 40 years, that's 90% of a woman's fertile reproductive life, she will spend trying not to have children. And therefore, the business of contraception goes out there and says, hey, here's an opportunity. These women are looking to prevent children and prevent life. here's a way that we can just offer them a product to I mean, Betty's, you know, 43 million women of reproductive age are trying not to conceive. Okay, so that's a lot of things to sell for a lot of money that pharmaceutical companies and other companies can see as a product. And so you can see from a marketing point of view, we have our work cut out for us as far as the natural family planning issue to get out. But we have the same market, and we have a better product, a product that's healthy and safe and effective, and a product that works, and a product that is conforms with God's plan and is not against anything. And we need to get that word out.
Well, I don't know if you have the answer to this, but 43 million women of reproductive age are sexually active and don't want to conceive. How many of those 43 million do you think are even married? So is there a discrepancy with sex outside of marriage versus sex within a marriage?
Well, I can only answer the question indirectly. The latest Census Bureau statistics, we talked about this last month, that less than 50% of the households in the United States are now married households. And so that the majority of the households in the United States are single person or single person families or single person. So figure half of those women are probably not even married, but it really doesn't matter because married women are contracepting too.
Oh, I agree with that.
You know, and they're contracepting at the same rate as other women. And when we get into 98% of women between the ages of 15 and 44 who are sexually active have used at least one method of contraception at some time during their lifetime, and only 2% of that 98% actually have used NFP. 62% of women currently are using some method of contraception. Another 31% don't need a method because they're either pregnant, breastfeeding, sterile, have infertility, postpartum, or they're trying to conceive but aren't pregnant yet, and so they're not contracepting, or they're abstinent or virginal. And this is women between the ages of 15 and 44. So twice the number of women are using contraception that don't need it. And then there's a small segment, 7% of women, who are at the risk of, here's another linguistic amazing word, unwanted pregnancy, because they're not using contraception. And so that's another market share that you're aiming to sell your product to. So the majority of women, 89% of them, are contracepting. Under the age of 30 in the world, the hormonal contraceptive, the pill, is the leading method under the age of 30. Over the age of 35, sterilization is the leading method of contraception. In the world, there have been over 180 million female sterilizations that have performed. In 2002, 14 million alone women were sterilized.
In the U.S.
In the United States.
Right. Sterilization is the leading method amongst blacks and Hispanics, and sterilization is most commonly relied upon by women over 35, married with less than a college education, and that's 10.7 million. 50% of all women 40 to 44, 50% have been sterilized. 18% male partners have been sterilized. And 7.3 million women use barrier methods. 3.1 million teenagers. 3.1 million use contraception. Amazing.
So we have a pretty amazing problem. What adds to the problem? A couple of other mind-blowing statistics. Federal employees that are paid by your tax dollars are guaranteed insurance coverage for contraception. That means that every federal employee is guaranteed to be given an insurance policy with a contraceptive rider that will pay for anything that they want, including sterilization. And your tax dollars, which go into the federal government to pay the salaries and the benefits of these employees, is paying for insurance to guarantee contraception. So even if you're pro-life in the United States, you have to pay your taxes because God, Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, okay? And render unto God what is God's. So your taxes, even though you're pro-life and even though you might be against contraception, are paying for benefits for federal employees to receive contraception. 6.5 million women received contraceptive services from publicly funded clinics last year, and 21 states out of the 50 have laws that mandate insurances provide contraceptive coverage. And some of these states are mandating that Catholic hospital systems provide insurance coverage for contraceptive services for their employees. And amazingly enough, there are doctors, nurses, technicians, people that work at a Catholic hospital who desire to have insurance that cover contraception. And if you live or work in a state that requires that you provide insurance with a contraceptive rider, then the Catholic hospital cannot opt out. But I have an answer to that.
Okay.
The Catholic Church is large enough and big enough and has enough people in it, just in the United States alone, that they could institute their own Catholic insurance company that would follow the teachings and the magisterial guidings of the church and not have to give contraception to anybody. And therefore, you want to come work in my hospital? You want to come work for me? I'm going to give you Archdiocese of Philadelphia Catholic health insurance. You can go to any Catholic hospital or Catholic doctor. You want to work for me, you don't get contraceptive coverage. We're a Catholic health system. And so if you don't want to, you know, if you want contraception, then go work somewhere else. So that's kind of the extent of the problem and kind of what's going on.
So if you have any comments or you'd like to give us a call, give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570.
Now, do you think that Catholics contracept as much as the rest of the society, Bet?
Absolutely.
Do you have any numbers on that?
No. Oh, I do now, don't I? above, let's see, 85% of Catholics contracept. 37% of Catholics been sterilized. I do truly believe that our church is not doing a good enough job spreading the message that contraception is against the teachings of the Catholic Church. It's against the church. It's a sin to contracept. And 85% of Catholics are contracepting. It blows me away. How sad is that?
And as you mentioned, 3.5 million teenagers are using contraceptives, and 1.5 million of them are using the pill. And 45% of teenage women are using condoms. And we still, with all of this, have 1.3 million teenagers becoming pregnant every year. We have 4 million teenagers who get an STD every year. We have an increased rate of abstinence that is the major cause of declining pregnancy and birth rates. You don't see that on the front pages of the newspaper.
No,
you don't hear that
good thing.
In the news, that abstinence programs are the programs that are primarily responsible. You know, they say, well, the abortion rate's decreasing, the pregnancy rate's decreasing, the STD rate's decreasing in teenagers. Well, the whole reason that it's decreasing is because of abstinence and abstinence programs and groups like Generation Life that are out there spreading the message.
Praise
and like John
God.
Paul said, we are on the springtime of a new evangelization in spreading this word, and there's an undercurrent that's starting to grow, and we're using Catholic radio to let you know just exactly what's going on in the real world of contraception and in the real world of people that are being duped. They just don't know the truth. We're going to spend the next couple of minutes talking about some of the medical issues that I think women will totally, and I can't get into all the documentation, but I have it. And if you're interested in it, you can send an email to the radio at holyspiritradio.org and email them with your question, and I'll be more than happy to give you the sources of this. But the World Health Organization has determined guidelines showing that there's an increased risk of cardiovascular events. That means heart attacks. There's an increased risk of blood clots. There's an increased risk of stroke. There's an increased risk of hypertension. There's an increased risk of breast cancer, documented, confirmed. 21 of 23 studies that are done. This is documented in every package insert of every hormonal contraceptive that is currently on the market. You don't have to go real far. Last week, big news, 5 low-dose pills pulled from the market in the United States, all containing a particular hormone called desogestrel. 5 pills, very popular pills on the market in the United States, withdrawn because of blood clots that go to the lungs and death rates associated with blood clots in young, healthy women between the ages of 19 and 30. In addition to that, in the last 4 years, since the patch has come on the market, you don't see any more advertisements on TV anymore for the contraceptive patch. It used to be one of the biggest TV commercials, especially prime time at night. You don't see the commercials anymore. Because at the end of every one of the commercials, they advertise, discuss with your doctor the increased risk of blood clots, strokes, heart attack, phlebitis, and cancer. Real quick, at the end, a little blurb, 5 seconds, compared to the 55 seconds of the commercial, 19 documented deaths in women between the ages of 19 and 30 with the contraceptive patch. It hasn't been pulled from the market, but they pulled Vioxx off the market, but they haven't pulled the patch from the market with these deaths.
My biggest concern is that they pulled, 4 or 5?
5.
5 birth control pills, 5 different brands off the market. It was so subtle in the news. But they do not have or have not notified the women that are taking these pills to stop them. So they're still taking them. If they just began a pack, they're going to take it for another whole month and not even be aware that these are dangerous pills until they go to their pharmacy to get a refill. Most women that buy birth control pills get them 3-month packs at a time because of their health insurance
prescription plan.
So women that are taking these medications have them sitting in their medicine cabinet and don't even know because they're not being strong enough or powerful enough in the media to stop these pills from being used on a daily basis. That horrifies me.
And there is no mechanism or method. Betty was asking me about this the other day. You know, how would you notify patients? And ultimately, there is no list of demographics that exist, like in a doctor's office, for say, of how many prescriptions you wrote for a particular pill, that you could walk into a computer and type in the name of that pill, and it would give you a list of all the patients that you've given that pill to for the last year. Unless you have electronic medical records, there's no way to pull it up, and most physicians' offices don't. And Planned Parenthood, they give them out mostly for free, where they charge anywhere from $2 to $5 a pack, and they just give whatever they have, and they have Planned Parenthood has a deal with the pharmaceutical companies to buy these things very inexpensively from the pharmaceutical companies and then sell them at a significantly increased markup. And your daughters can walk into Planned Parenthood without any parental notification and get a prescription for birth control pills and walk out of there, and you wouldn't even know that your daughter was on the pill. And, you know, the next thing you know, she's in the emergency room with shortness of breath and chest pain and gets diagnosed with a pulmonary embolus, and the doctor comes out and gives the diagnosis, and you're there as the parent, and your 18 or 19-year-old or whatever age is lying there gasping for breath and having a lot of chest pain, and the doctor says, oh, your daughter has a pulmonary embolus. And I say, how'd she get that? Oh, it's probably from the birth control pills that she's taking. You don't even know she's taking the pill. And the risk is increased dramatically with women that smoke, and more women smoke than men, and the largest increase in smokers in the United States are teenage girls. More teenage girls smoke than teenage boys. And even though you're not supposed to be able to buy cigarettes under the age of 18, go take a ride down the street someday near a school and see how many kids are standing outside the school smoking a cigarette. Go up to Oxford Valley Mall or any one of the malls and see outside of the entrance where all the smokers are in 19-degree weather and frigid weather. They can't go out and shovel your driveway, but they can stand outside for a half hour and smoke a cigarette.
Well, what horrifies me is that this is an attack on women, and women aren't even aware, and no one is standing up for women and the rights of women. Where's all the feminists that agree with all this birth control and, you know, being sexually promiscuous and everything else? Where are they standing up for the rights of women taking pills that are off the market? It just appalls me. I just think it's another attack on women, and women don't have anybody to fight for them.
And isn't it amazing that, and we told this story before, that when the pill was originally being researched in San Juan, Puerto Rico, back in 1959, they were doing actually studies on women as well as men for a male birth control pill as well. And in the group of men that were taking their particular pill, there was some shrinkage of the male testicle in three of the males. And as a result of that, they immediately discontinued that study and discontinued any research into that particular product. In the female group, there were several deaths. And 6 months later, the Food and Drug Administration of the United States approved the first birth control pill. And the first birth control pill had about 180 micrograms of estrogen. And today, most of the birth control pills contain 30 or 35 micrograms of estrogen. So they've decreased the dose dramatically and gradually. But in the beginning, they had no idea how much estrogen you needed to put in the pill to provide a contraceptive effect. So it's been the longest experiment on a human ever in the history of modern medicine. And the information, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not believe me, go on any product website and pull up the package insert and look at the list of possible complications. It's the same for every hormonal contraceptive on the market in the United States. Just to give you some statistics, the federal government put steroidal estrogens on the carcinogenic list in the year 2000. You all heard about hormones and hormone replacement therapy. Millions of women around the world have stopped taking their hormone replacement therapy because of the fear of breast cancer, blood clots, phlebitis, and heart attack. These are postmenopausal women over the age of 50 taking hormone replacement therapy. The birth control pills contain 10 times as much estrogen as hormone replacement therapy. The World Health Organization classified birth control pills as well as hormone replacement therapy as a group 1 carcinogen in July of 2005. The New England Journal of Medicine published an article in January of last year showing that there was an increased risk of breast cancer. You didn't hear that on the evening news. In October of last year, there was an article in the Mayo Clinic Proceedings showing 21 of 23 studies dating from the 1980s show an increased risk of breast cancer with pill users, especially if you take the pill before your first full-term pregnancy, which is the majority of women taking the pill as teenagers in their early 20s before they ever conceive and have a full-term delivery. Now, what's the difference? Well, a pregnancy matures the breast tissue and makes it less susceptible to getting cancer. And we all know that women who have a baby before the age of 30 have a lower incidence of breast cancer than women who have their children after the age of 30, which is another trend that our feminist society has led us into, that women, and certainly women have the right to have children at any age, and whether you have a child at 35 or 25, we certainly don't have any qualms with that. But there is a plan that God has with creating human biology, and there is a plan that God has with providing us with the knowledge about that biology that we are to use and order it toward the good and not toward evil.
The amazing thing is that our church truly believes the and teaches contraception is against the teachings of the Catholic Church, the moral law of God, and instead of us Catholic women embracing that teaching, we get all bent out of shape, like, who do they think they are telling me what I can and cannot do? This is God's plan for us as women, but also the Church cares enough about us to want to protect us medically and protect our bodies and protect us psychologically. So it's good that the Church is teaching this, not a inconvenience or an intrusion. It's not an intrusion. It's because Jesus loves us. He loves us as a woman. He wants us to protect ourselves from the evils of contraception, of secular society. He's given us a gift. He's given us the ability to bear children, the greatest gift a woman can have. And only women can do this. So we need to embrace that. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift that God has given us.
And medically, we tell the story that Janet Smith tells all the time on her Contraception Why Not series, that if a teenage male walked into a doctor's office and asked for some steroids so that he could build up his muscles and look good on the beach and improve his athletic ability, most doctors would turn around and say, get out of here, go to the gym, go work out, go eat more protein, and go build up your muscles naturally. But if a teenage female walks into the doctor's office and says, give me some contraceptive steroids, I want to have sex with my boyfriend, and I don't want to get pregnant, and I don't want to get caught by my parents, and don't tell anybody, the immediate reaction is, here's a prescription, here's a 12-month supply, come see me next year and call me if you have any problems, end of discussion. No discussion about increased risk of breast cancer, no discussion about increased risk of liver tumors, no discussion about increased risk of blood clots, phlebitis, heart attack, stroke, damage to your cervix, interference with your future childbearing potential and fertility. None of those discussions take place. I can tell you from personal experience, I prescribed contraception for 21 years until 7 years ago. You all know my story. And ultimately, I never had those discussions with patients because I made the judgment that, well, she's pretty healthy. She doesn't need to know all this. This is what she wants. I'm going to give her what she wants. I'm afraid of losing her as a patient. I'm afraid that she won't come back and see me. She'll go elsewhere. And that partially is some of the reason why a lot more doctors are not willing to give up the contraceptive mentality. Not only that, but they're educated in the contraceptive mentality. They really don't know anything about natural family planning. They're not taught it in medical school. And they really don't have emphasized in their training programs the side effects and the negative aspects. Let me give you a statistic here that sounds like it's kind of small. The death rate for women, not the complication rate, death rate. Now, to me, if one woman dies from taking a pill when she's not sick, remember, your fertility is not a disease. So these are young girls who are not sick. If one girl dies, that's one too many. The death rate is ranging between 0.3 and 1.9 women for every 100,000 users between the ages of 15 and 19. Wow. Not old ladies, not 45-year-olds, not 48-year-olds, 15 to 19-year-olds. So when you calculate the number of women using hormonal contraceptives between the ages of 15 and 19, that comes out to 30 to 190 deaths per year in women between the ages of 15 and 19 who are perfectly healthy. Now, maybe none of you know anybody who ever died on birth control pills, and maybe a lot of you know a lot of women who have taken birth control pills, but I can tell you, I know two patients that were in my practice, one who was 28, married with two children, and one who was 31, who died from complications of blood clots to their lungs from taking birth control pills.
Well, what concerns me about that age bracket, 15 to 19, most women that age are not married. So they're actually taking this contraceptive pill outside of a marital union, and it can hurt them medically. It could kill them medically, and they're really not even considering a marriage, but yet they're having relations outside of a marriage.
Yeah, well, there's something about the Sixth Commandment that says about that activity.
Yes.
And although they may not be completely aware of it, they certainly have to know something about it, and ultimately they're not only maybe killing themselves medically, but they may also be killing themselves spiritually.
Absolutely, I agree with
you. And if these girls die in a state of mortal sin because of the activity that they're participating in, which they think is just a cultural byproduct of our society and an extracurricular activity because that's what it's made to look like on TV and in movies and things like that, we've just taken sexuality, human sexuality, and thrown it into the gutter of the world and made it so dirty and so negative. And John Paul is trying to raise it, and Benedict and the Catholic Church are all trying to raise it to a level that goes much higher than any level that it's ever been perceived before. And we need to get some of that back. And that's the reason why we're having some of the, you can't say, especially in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, between having this Catholic radio station speaking the message, between the conferences that are coming from the National Catholic Bioethics Society, from the International Cultural Institute, from the Philadelphia Catholic Medical Association, from Catholic hospitals in the area, from the Family Life Office with the natural family planning classes. We educate, 100 couples a year, and we have 8 certified users. From a group like the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network with over 500 people on the mailing list who try to subscribe and support natural family planning, you can't say that the information's not available. And so we hope that although it sounds like we may be judging people that are contracepting or who have been sterilized, look, we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all make errors in judgment. We all do things. I'm the first one to admit, as a prescriber of contraceptives and as one who has done many sterilization procedures over the first 21 years of my practice, I do not feel happy, nor do I feel proud of any of the activities that I participated in. At the time, I thought that I was doing the right thing. I was doing a good thing. I was doing something to help women's health care, and now I know differently. And I need to put that message out to let you all know that you need to look at it differently. You need to take a look at your health. You need to take a look at your life. You need to, the next time that you are in your doctor's office, you need to take a, you need to have a question and answer session, and you need to say to your doctor, you know, go in with some of these articles that you can pull up off of websites and go in with the information in your hand from some of these medical journals and stuff. You all go online and look things up and find these things and ask them of these questions and say, well, what about this increased risk in breast cancer? What about this increased risk of cervical cancer? What about blood clots and things like that? And see what he says. You know, push him to the challenge, this doctor. And from your own point of view as a female, you have to say what's best for your health. So as we're winding down with about 55 or 60 seconds left to go in the program, we hope that we provided you with a little bit of insight. We hope that you would consider attending the program tomorrow at the International Cultural Institute. We hope that we were not too heavy-handed with statistics. And I'll give Betty the final word, and she can end with a prayer to Our Lady, and we can ask Our Lady to please guide us in the future.
And thank you all for being with us today. And I'd like to dedicate this prayer to my father-in-law, who's seriously ill. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us. Thank you, everyone, and God bless.
See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. NFP for Life is produced by Holy Spirit Radio and can be heard on the third Friday of every month at 4 p.m. and encores the following Sunday at 2 p.m.